Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Taz of the Moose with you here on a happy Wednesday here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who found a better way to mortgage so you could focus on making your new house home? Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike and Sam across the way, Bogus with your updates. To 9 a.m. Eastern time, we go. Coming up later on this hour, we're going to talk a little Astros baseball. Jeff Blum is going to join us. Astros analyst, former MLB veteran, joined us earlier on in the postseason. Will join us to close out the program. What do you need to know on this Wednesday morning? Here you go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose.
Number one.
Seven number versus one. The Astros.
Oh, there we go. Well, excuse me.
Well, Sam's been out a while.
Well, as far as our show, so he's just
want to rewrap this whole thing.
Number one.
Nats force a game seven versus the Astros.
Seamless. Fix that in the podcast, Mike. All right.
That I will.
Seven two was the final last night, Taz. We got ourselves a game seven. You don't have to be. I don't think there's two greater words in sports when you think about game seven. I understand you won a championship. There's a lot of things, but in terms of the buildup, what you're looking forward tonight, you don't have to be a baseball fan to get locked in to what could transpire tonight. And hopefully we get an epic game seven, because what we got last night was a drama-filled epic game six. Whether it be the call on Trey Turner in the seventh inning, which is going to be roundly debated, and it was criticized all over social media as that call was made last night by Sam Holbrook. Whether it be the big home runs last night by Eaton to tie it, Soto, and then the big Rendon blast to make it a 5-2 game at that stage. They get seven. They score a couple runs in the top half of the ninth inning, whether it be the performance by Strasburg. I mean, there's so many different things. Holding up the bats, as we discussed earlier, oh, yeah, by Soto and Bregman. Bregman apologized for it after the game. I don't think you're going to get an apology from Juan Soto, but...
No. He said he thought it was cool.
Yeah, exactly right. So, and he's, you know, a 21-year-old young, and not saying Bregman's old, but it was an epic game six, Taz. A game that he had a hard time really turning off. It was that kind of a game.
It was great. It was great. And I was saying it earlier, I mean, if you missed this game, go watch the highlights, like on YouTube or wherever, or some place online, MLB or whatever, but it was awesome. I mean, it was an awesome game. I mean, the score doesn't look like it was an awesome game, but there was so many ups and downs and, you know, great moments in the game and intriguing, entertaining things that happened in the game. And the Nationals just somehow, some way, man, they're still ticking. And they go on the road to Houston and they win. And I thought all momentum was lost when the Astros came back from D.C., beating up the Nats in their home three games in a row. And, I mean, wow. Give a lot of credit here. Like, you talked a whole bunch, you know, about Strasburg. You were
How good was he last night?
Eight innings, seven strikeouts, 104 pitches in eight innings. And you said it best earlier, Moose. Let him play. Let him pitch the whole game. Let him finish the game.
I wanted to see him finish the game. Throw a complete game. Why bring it? And I get getting do a little bit of work, Taz, just in case you got to lean on him heavy in game seven with Scherzer taking the mound. But still, I would have had Strasburg pitch the complete game. I mean, that would be a notch on the old belt. How about this? How about the fact that Strasburg's 5-0 this postseason with an under 2 ERA for the Washington Nationals? And here's the other thing. How about Verlander, who's been a great postseason performer? Yes, Alex Cora said the Astros would never have won the World Series in 17 without Verlander being a part of that team. How about the fact that Verlander in seven career World Series starts is 0-6? How about that?
I mean, you wouldn't think of a guy like this, as great as he always is, right? I mean, that's a crazy stat.
Crazy. Crazy when you think about it. And now you get the matchup tonight with Max Scherzer, who was warming up in the bullpen last night. That Rendon home run in the top half of the seventh inning put Scherzer back on the bench in the bullpen, and he stopped warming up to make it a 5-2 game, Taz. Now you got Scherzer coming off the neck spasms, which forced him to not start game five. He's getting the ball tonight. We talked about it a little bit earlier. What does that exactly mean? How much can you realistically expect from Scherzer on the mound for Dave Martinez?
Yeah, we did. We talked about this a lot earlier, and, you know, and with those neck spasms, I mean, I'm sure he's been through a lot of rehab the past few days and probably taking some muscle relaxers that his doctor prescribed and stuff like that, and probably some electric stim with heat and electric stim to loosen up those muscles, those bands in his neck from his traps to his shoulders to the base of his skull, his neck area there. I mean, I've lived this, you know, as a wrestler, and it's a painful thing. And just hopefully that there's enough looseness, and they probably have a massage therapist working them right before the game, maybe during the game, to keep those bands, those muscles loose, to keep the blood flow in there so he don't tighten up. And when he gets on that hill, it's game seven on the road in front of one of the best, you know, arguably the best baseball team in the land, in the Houston Astros, and they're home. That's a lot of stress. That's a lot of pressure. And hopefully that stress doesn't aggravate that neck. That's my point, again, at the stress thing, where it tightens his neck up more. I mean, it's going to be some kind of story tonight. We're going to see how it evolves.
All right, let's, right now, your gut. Astros still win?
Yes, and I think that Scherzer goes 3 innings and he's out.
Yeah, I think I wanted to see a game seven. I understand it. You know, you've gotten a little bit of sports history already with the road team winning the first 6 games. It's never happened in professional sports in a 7-game series. Now, could you get a seventh? That's the way the trend going. I agree with you. I think my gut says the Astros bounce back with a victory tonight.
Yep.
I agree. But we're going to see it nonetheless. And Washington's kind of buried that sweep that they had, the 3 losses at home, with that victory last night. It's going to be fun to watch later on this evening down in Houston.
Number 2.
NFL trade deadline comes and goes.
Yeah, and wide-ranging speculation and rumors and potential deals, Taz. Mm. But really not a lot to it.
Yeah, not a lot of sizzle, not a lot of steak. It was just nothing to write home about. A lot of scuttlebutt potentials, maybes, and we talked a lot about it earlier about the Jets' safety, Jamal Adams. Would he end up, you know, were the Jets looking to move him or not? But he didn't go anywhere. He's still a Jet, and he seems like he wants to be a Jet. And there was scuttlebutt, like you mentioned earlier, about the Jets again, about Lev Bell. What would they have moved him to see if they can get something done? You know, the Browns were interested in Williams, the offensive tackle, who hasn't played yet for the horrible Redskins, or Nate Solder. You know, so but that didn't happen. So it was all these maybes, but they didn't happen.
Right. When the Rams are hooking up a 5th-round draft choice to Aqib Talib and getting a 7th-rounder back as the Miami Dolphins take on the injured corner to try and clear salary cap, and that is the best move of the day, the biggest move of the day, that's when you know it was kind of a boring NFL trade.
That's true.
I mean, it wasn't really much to it.
I was close on it just like you were, and there wasn't nothing there.
You thought maybe the Jets were going to trade, you know, Robbie Anderson. Didn't happen. You thought maybe they would trade Le'Veon Bell to the Chiefs. That didn't happen. You thought maybe then they would trade Jamal Adams to the Cowboys. That didn't happen.
Right.
There wasn't really much to it. I mean, you look at the big NFL news, and, you know, when you look at it on Tuesday, you know, we'll get to the Bengals naming of a new quarterback here momentarily. But Mike Nugent done with the New England Patriots.
They cut him. I had a feeling that was going to happen.
Yeah, he didn't look particularly good. Nick Folk.
Oh.
The former Cowboy and the former Jet is now going to be the new Patriots place kicker here moving forward. Mm. So that was the big story. That's exactly right with that reaction.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
The other thing is, I'd be a little concerned here if I'm Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks went to go see a specialist in Pittsburgh after suffering his 2nd concussion this month. I think he's had 4 concussions within the last 8 or 9 month period here, Taz, dating back, or even a little bit longer, back to last year. I'd be a little concerned here for Brandon Cooks. We've talked about, you know, you've talked about concussions. We've talked about the CTE issue in the National Football League. When you're when you're having those concussions and they're coming quickly, you know, a lot and repetitive. Yeah. I mean, that is scary. So Brandon Cooks, the talented wide receiver, Did fly out to Pittsburgh yesterday to see a specialist as he's dealing with yet another concussion, his second one in the last 30 days.
Hopefully he's going to be okay. I mean, it's no joke. I mean, and you don't know to the level of concussions, too. I've talked about that in the past here. Like, I've had seven concussions that I know of anyway, the ones that I know of. And I had the worst one I had, I remember, and it was bad, and the vomiting and everything.
Really?
And, yeah, it was horrific.
How long did that last?
Couple of days. I was at WrestleMania actually in the Houston Astrodome. Yeah, we did.
You suffered the concussion.
That's why I got it. I know exactly the match. What I did in the match. I know exactly what happened. Yeah, and I knew I was concussed right away. Thank God it was a 6-man tag match. I had two partners, the APA, against the. Remember the right to censor?
Yes.
It was us. It was 3-on-3, and I took a clothesline. It wasn't the guy's fault. It was my fault, and I just landed really hard in the back of my head. Anyway, I got concussed. I needed the APA had to help me to the back. And the Houston Astrodome felt like the entrance. It's obviously, gigantic building. It felt like it took miles of walking to get to that locker room. And as soon as I got in the locker room, I vomited right into a garbage can, right backstage. And the trainer brought me right to the trainer's room. And Vince was concerned. He's like, he's got a bad concussion. He knew right away. I knew it, too. I couldn't walk. I couldn't see straight. I knew where I was, but I just couldn't walk.
That's scary.
And then they laid me down in the training room and checked me out, put ice on the back of my neck. And they looked at my eyes. They knew right away, and they just had someone hang out. I mean, this is during WrestleMania. We were the first match.
That's crazy.
So, anyway, the next night I didn't. This was before the whole concussion protocol thing. And I wanted to wrestle.
And they would not
let me wrestle.
How long after that did you wrestle?
A week.
Week?
1 week.
That's not a lot of time.
No, but no one knew. We didn't know.
You didn't know.
This was like 2001 or whatever.
When did you start to feel right?
Probably about that I felt right. I could work out. In my brain, it was probably about 5 days, 6 days.
Five, 6 days. Okay.
I felt okay, but I probably shouldn't have been in the ring.
Longer. Yeah.
But no knock on WWE. They kept me out of the ring for those 2 days.
Yeah, no. I get it. It's just a matter of what you're dealing with when you're dealing with concussions, because a lot of people don't have that level of concussion that you had.
Bad.
Or is not dealing with Brandon Cooks is dealing with, Taz. Might suffer a concussion here or there, but they're not taking that kind of physical bump or tax on their body, so they don't know. They don't know
right,
that.
You're right,
and
you're right.
I suffered a couple of concussions in my life. One being a bad one when I was skiing one time up in Massachusetts, which
you
was
told
a
me
bad
that.
One.
Little
yeah.
kid got in your way?
Correct. Yes.
Tremendous story.
Yes.
Right.
I fell on.
Go in the archives of Taz and Luce.
Exactly.
You can listen back to it.
Right.
Great story.
Taking down the mountain on a toboggan by the medical staff.
On a bunny hill.
Right.
Exactly. Look at that bunny trail they call
it.
You weren't on that, though.
It was not a double black diamond.
Hey, I'm the same type skier. Don't worry
about it.
I hear you, man.
I wish it was. Then I'd have even a better
story. It's a hell of a story, right?
Exactly right. But there you have it for Brandon Cooks. All right, next.
Number 3.
Bengals are benching Andy Dalton.
Yeah, we mentioned it. Ryan Finley's going to be in at a quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, Taz. And really, they've got nothing to lose. I mean, all they've done is lose. They're 0-8. They're going nowhere. And they're not going to be locked into Andy Dalton pass this year. He's owed nearly $18 million for 2020. They're not going to pay him that. I don't think Andy Dalton's career in the NFL is over. But I think his days are obviously, and months are obviously numbered here as a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. He will not be a Bengal next year.
Right.
I'd be absolutely stunned. And as we mentioned, closing out last hour, Taz, the Bengals now have got to figure out whether or not Ryan Finley can play. If they like what they see, then maybe they don't need to address the quarterback position in next April's NFL draft. But if they don't like what they see, then obviously the quarterback is going to be of high priority for them come next April.
Yeah, it's true. And you got some talented guys on this Bengals team. It's unfortunate that they haven't got their own 8. Guys like Mixon, obviously, guys like Geno Atkins, a hell of a defensive tackle. Billy Price.
That's a good one, yep.
Hell of an offensive lineman, a guard. Tremendous player, Billy Price, underratedly offensive line because he's on a bad team, had a hell of a career at Ohio State. I remember when he came out of the draft, I think we were talking about him a good amount. You know what I mean?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Price, when he was doing his workouts, didn't he tear
his pec?
Yeah. When he was doing the lift, the 225, right?
He was benching the 225 and he tore his pec and he came back.
Yes, he did.
He's a couple years in the league, like 2 years, 3 years, maybe 2 years, something like that.
I think you're right.
2 years?
Yeah.
Anyway, they got some talent. Yeah, he's a good player. They got some talent, but yeah, they got nothing to lose here. You got to go, go with Finley. I mean, what the hell? I mean, let's see if the kid can play. The kid at North Carolina State's a rookie, and see what he's got.
So there you have it. As you wake up here on this Wednesday morning, Dalton sent to the bench out there in Cincinnati. Finley in as your starting quarterback for Zach Taylor. He's trying to find some solutions. The first-year head coach, former Rams offensive coordinator. Jeff Blum is going to join Taz and myself coming your way later on this hour. We're going to talk about Game 7. Astros Nationals later on tonight. That comes your way as we roll along here. Third and final hour. Taz and the Moose with you. CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We'll get to the undercard here momentarily. Bogus is in the house. Final time this morning. What's up, Andrew?
Moose, hey. Taz, Sam, Mike, BDB, Weird Al. Anthony Rendon had to wait while umpires reviewed something about the controversial interference call against teammate Trey Turner in the top of the seventh inning of Game 6 last night in Houston. Then Adam Eaton had a hit, then Rendon hit.
Harris is 1-0. Swinging a high fly ball left field, sending Brantley back onto the warning track at the wall, looking up, and it is gone! Anthony Rendon puts it into the Crawford boxes, and the Nationals lead the ball game 5-2 here in the seventh inning.
Dave Jagler on Nats Radio. Rendon made the Turner call less important with the big swing off reliever Will Harris. He added a two-run double in the ninth to cap off a 5 RBI night and a 7-2 season-extending win for his team. The World Series go in the distance because the home team has yet to win a game in the series. Nationals manager Dave Martinez is of no help.
It's weird, really. I mean, we can't explain it.
Martinez wasn't around for the final out, ejected for continuing his argument with home plate umpire Sam Holbrook for calling Turner out for being out of the baseline when a throw to first hit him in the right leg. Martinez, the first manager tossed from a World Series game since Bobby Cox in 1996. Game 7 starts shortly after 7 Central tonight. Zach Greinke on the hill for Houston. Max Scherzer returns from his neck issue to start for Washington. Jets safety Jamal Adams unhappy because the Jets apparently thought about trading him before yesterday's deadline. Adams tweeting yesterday, he asked GM Joe Douglas and head coach Adam Gase to keep him, but then they reportedly listened to offers for him. Washington couldn't deal left tackle Trent Williams. He then ended his holdout to get credit for this season and avoid delaying free agency. Now we wait to see if Williams passes a physical and chooses to actually take the field. The Rams traded injured corner Aqib Talib to the Dolphins in a salary dump. The Bengals are benching Andy Dalton for rookie QB Ryan Finley. And the Falcons released 44-year-old kicker Matt Bryant after two more misses Sunday, so now all their problems are solved. Anthony Davis didn't miss much last night against the Grizzlies.
Allen dribbling on, knocked away by Dwight Howard, stolen by LeBron. Here come the Lakers 3-on-1. Alley-oop to Davis, who slams it home. Danny Green threw the pass. Anthony Davis dunked it. He's up to 28 points.
That's John Ireland on Lakers Radio. Davis, 40 points, 20 boards in a 120-91 rout of Memphis. The 40 points included a team record 26 made free throws. Trae Young sprained his right ankle in the Hawks' 112-97 loss in Miami. Jimmy Butler, 21 points in his delayed Heat debut. The Detroit Red Wings snap an 8-game skid, 3-1 over the Oilers, and the Capitals won 4-3 in OT in Toronto Alex Ovechkin, 2 assists, 2 goals, including the game winner. And the Seattle Sounders, bad name, good soccer, won the MLS Western Conference Final 3-1 at regular season champion LAFC. The Sounders now play at Atlanta United or host Toronto FC in MLS Cup on November 10th. Mm. That Eastern Conference Final is tonight. I wish it was now. Guys, back to you.
No doubt. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. Here we go, the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Mike. Today's the day for the free taco giveaway from Taco Bell. It's between 2 and 6 p.m. Will you guys be there?
Yeah. Ooh, do we need a flyer or something?
I think you just need to be there. Just have to walk in.
And really? They'll hand you free taco.
Can I Uber Eats it?
I don't know the answer to that. Probably not.
Well, imagine if Mike's just delivering free tacos all day.
All day.
Great for business.
How would that work? You'd get the delivery charge on top.
Oh, yeah. You get the delivery charge.
He's always thinking, dude.
That's right.
Always thinking. It's just
delivering one taco.
He's building an empire, Moose. Trust me. He's building an empire.
Now, would it bother you if like you deliver a free taco and it's open up the door and it's like a multi-million dollar athlete looking for his free taco?
He's had this with cookies. Right?
No, that would not bother me. That'd be sweet.
No, the cookies the gentleman paid for, Mike delivered the wrong cookies.
Who made a nice play, by the way, against the Steelers on Monday night.
You're like his biggest fan now.
I am. He deflected a pass. He got all excited.
Yeah, my man.
Smile.
Are you going to go get a free taco?
Am I going to go?
Yes.
I'm too busy, bro. I mean, I got Hall of Famers coming on my podcast. We'll get to Austin here in a second.
I don't have time
to run around again. I'll have them bring me tacos. I'm going to tell you. You know, I'm going to get a free taco.
If there was a Taco Bell close to where I lived, I think I'd go get one. But I'm not going to go out of my way. The closest Taco Bell is like 15 minutes away. I'm not doing that.
I got one close to me. Do you have a Cordoba? You know Cordoba? You have them in Connecticut. You know Cordoba?
Yes,
are you familiar with that?
Yes.
They're really good.
They're very good.
It's better than Taco Bell. I don't care what Taco Bell thinks. I'm just telling you how
I feel. I would agree with that.
I think it might be better than Chip, too. Chipotle. I think Cordoba might
be. It's debatable.
Good, man.
Yeah. I've had an issue going back to Chipotle after the whole thing that transpired a couple of years ago.
What happened?
I'm not getting into that. Come on. Taz, it was in the news. It was across the country. You know what I'm talking about.
It wouldn't be good to eat it.
Wait a minute. Well, I remember Taco Bell had the whole, in Manhattan here, they had the rats and mice on the tables.
No, Chipotle had the contamination.
Oh, that's no big deal. They fixed it.
I understand.
I got it last week. I'm good.
I know. I'm sure it's good. I'm just telling me personally. I'm not telling you it's not good.
Nah, I don't have a phobia like that.
You know what's... Well, I'm sorry, Taz. I'm sorry that's had an impact on me and on my eating of Chipotle.
Dude, you don't look malnutrition here. Let's be honest. I mean, so
I'm not saying I don't eat. What do you have to insult me now?
No, I don't mean it like that. What about this? Do you like this? Let me ask you a question. Hold on, Hushpet. Do you like? All right. So, do you like Moe's?
Moe's Caribbean?
No. Moe's Mexican
Southwest Grill.
Yes, that's
been there a bunch.
Bring your sons there, dude. That is the best. My kid loves Moe's.
I don't have.
You don't have them on Connecticut?
No.
I'm surprised.
The hot spot for Uber Eats.
I don't have Moe's. Moe's in Jersey is very big. There's one on Route 17 on your way to MetLife Stadium. I've been to Moe's. I've not been with the kids. Yeah, Moe's is good.
Long Island, or as we call it, Strong Island.
Yes,
big Moe's population. A lot of Moe's. They're good, man. Same like Moe's. Yeah, thumbs up, Jones. There it is.
I love Moe's.
Yeah,
soccer and Moe's.
Welcome to Moe's.
That's it. So they have good stuff. You get the, what do you call it, the home wrecker. They have that. They have a little gimmick name.
Yeah,
they have the Joey something. What's it called? Joey the Jobber?
Joey Bag of Donuts.
Joey Bag of Donuts. That's it.
That's not.
No, I swear to God, they call it. That's it. They name their burritos.
Is Joey Bag of Donuts?
Joey Bag of Donuts.
What's in the Joey Bag of Donuts?
Joey Bag, I wrote it. Give me the Joey Bag. Yeah, they got refried beans, Jones. You got some rice. I think you got some, your choice of meats. I don't know. I'm going to
Moe's Mexican Grill, and the burrito's called Joey Bag of Donuts.
Dude, you have to Google this.
Served in a 12-flour or whole grain tortilla.
What's in it, Mike?
12-inch.
Not 12-foot, Mike. 12-inch.
12-inch.
Oh, 12-foot. That'd be big. It doesn't.
Served in a 12 tortilla.
The website won't let me click to go further. But
come on.
I'm sorry. It's not letting me.
Password to get Moe's?
Apparently.
Why do you have such an attitude today?
So
I'm sorry.
Everybody...
Like, why are you so nasty today?
Talking about, I'm just trying to tell you, I haven't been able to find it.
All right, no problem.
So for everyone out there, go get your free tacos between 2 and 6 today.
Not at Moe's.
If you go to Moe's to go get your taco, they'll be like, what the hell are you talking about? You got to go to Taco Bell to go get your taco.
I love giving bad info. You hate that so much.
I do.
You really do. It's a pet peeve. You worry about telling the audience the truth. Not me. I don't mean I just wing it. go to Chip. Tell him Taz and the Moose
right.
said we're
getting
free tacos.
Go to Chick-fil-A. Walk in today at around noon and be like, hey, listen, I was listening to Taz and the Moose this morning. They said... I can get 6 sandwiches for free.
Could you imagine?
And throw it up on video. Let's see the reaction.
No, go to Taco Bell. You get your free taco. Are you going to go all kids? Bring your kids.
No. 2 to 6. No, I'm not going to Taco
Bell. Take them out of school early. You go.
Yeah, let's go all to Taco Bell. Here we go.
Yeah, tell Donna. Take the kids out of school early. Go at 2 o'clock. Take them out at 1. And go there with them. Okay, maybe not. I'm not doing that.
No, it's not just that. No, Taco Bell's great. I don't think I'm going to be taking them to Taco Bell, but it's a great establishment, tremendous fast food. We love it. Go get your free taco today.
What is this?
Well, I just sent you a text. The website's not working.
It's what's
not
the 500 for?
It's just an error message saying you can't see with the bag of donuts.
We believed you. All right, next.
Mike's
from the Joey Bag of Donuts, crazy. 12-foot flour tortilla. Nuts.
All right, thank you, Moose. It was 12 inches. It was 12 inches, everybody.
I know.
Was it, Mike?
What's that? It was 6 plus 6 is 12 inches. Joel Embiid's got a new free throw routine.
Two Syracuse guys argue about inches and, the education. Continue. Joel Embiid what?
A Kansas guy, Joel Embiid, has a new free throw routine. When he goes to the line, he pulls out his wedgie. And he makes a little grimace on his face. What do you make of the routine?
I'm a Sixers fan. I have no idea what you're talking about. I haven't watched in the NBA yet. What did you just say?
Joel Embiid, when he goes
to adjust himself.
He takes out the wedge. You've had a wedge before.
Crack of his rear end.
I'm
Commando.
Thank you, Taz. My kids are listening. Rafael Nadal. So he pulls a Nadal in tennis who constantly adjusts himself right before every serve. You noticed that?
I love tennis.
He's got very fidgety. So that's what Embiid is doing. How is his free throw percentage doing this year?
Great.
I don't have that information yet. Hold on.
Okay.
So he's
not pertinent to the story.
I'm the one that asked it.
All right, next.
Oh. Wow! Oh. Hello! What do you got, Sam?
Looking up his free throw percentage. Right,
No, don't worry about the free throw percentage.
Hold on, guys.
I'm that Sam for no reason. He did nothing wrong.
Ooh, he's doing well. So far this season, he is at 77.8%.
I told you guys that. Don't listen to me.
You're on top.
Oh, we did the next. Mattress Mac is in position to win $22 million tonight. Mm. But, of course, he needs the Stros to win. You rooting for Mattress Mac?
I am, because I told you guys this. We have mutual friends, Mattress Mac. And
he was involved in wrestling.
Yeah, he was doing some promotion. Remember Speakerphone Jones called?
Yes, I do. Yes, of course. And he reminded me of it on Twitter.
And now that we just said that, there's another one coming.
I know there is. He's in the midst of it. He's at Mark Melusis. Hashtag we open.
Send a photo of like a mattress.
It's being sent out right now. Even though at Mark Melusis hates me, I do love Taz and the Moose. Hashtag we open. I don't hate you.
That was funny, though. The way you said that was pretty funny.
No, I'm rooting for the Nats.
Not me.
I know. You're rooting for the Stros. Here we go.
You're a Mets fan?
Marlins.
Okay. Next.
Oh, my God. Marlins.
I forgot about that.
Miami.
You're the one.
Yeah. Poor guy. What, Mike? Ooh. What?
And finally, Bears' Eddie Pinheiro was not thrilled with where the ball was placed and called out Matt Nagy on 670 The Score in Chicago. Bad move from the kicker to call out the coach when he missed the kick.
Knowing Nagy's going to cut.
Why would he do that?
Or Nagy at every practice is going to. How long was that field goal? Was it how long was it? 34 yards? 41. Oh, similar. Hold on a second. Cody Parkey missed the 41-yard field. It was 41 yards, I believe, against the Eagles. Was it not? Was that a 41-yard field goal that he missed?
I think it was.
And Nagy basically had every guy trying out, attempting that field goal during the course of the practice and the tryout. Now Pinheiro. Remember, Parkey went on the Today Show after he missed the kick, which ticked off the Bears.
He shouldn't have said nothing.
Right, Mr. Abs himself. Now Pinheiro's going on 6-7 and going on the score and criticizing the coach.
What's Cody Parkey doing now? Do we know?
He just got signed. It's with the Titans.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What is going on with these kickers? Once they move back the extra point gimmick, these guys are all screwed up. They used to be gimmies. These kicks used to be... These guys, I don't know what's going on, man. They're all kind of... Just the stereotype, because I love stereotyping everyone and typecasting people. I mean, it's crazy that they all are sucking. Man. I had my guy Hauschka from the Bills. Remember he's with the Seahawks? He sucks, too.
Steven Hauschka.
Yeah, him.
You know who's good? The guy the Vikings cut. Carlson.
Cut.
He's good.
I do remember him.
They drafted him out of Auburn. He was like a third or a fourth round draft choice. Remember, missed all those kicks in Lambeau. And then we made fun of Zimmer because Zimmer was asked, was it a tough decision to get rid of him? He said no.
He buried him.
Basically went to the Raiders. He's made like 19 straight. He can't miss.
He is good.
Basically, John Gruden last year said he's an unbelievable young kicker. We're happy to have him. He's an asset.
Maybe his kicker can play quarterback.
Ha! You got a podcast coming out today.
Yeah.
Afternoon Drives.
Are we done here?
Stone Cold
Steve
Austin.
Yeah, we got Steve Austin coming on Taz Show. You go to Apple Podcasts, then you go to Stitcher, Spotify, Stone
Make
Cold
sure
Steve
download.
Austin, and me. It'll be explicit. There'll be a lot of cursing.
It'll be a good
really,
spot.
Really bad New York accents, really bad Texas accents. Good luck understanding what either of us say.
There you go. Check it out. Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get them. Make sure to download that later on today. Taz's going to be interviewing Stone Cold Steve Austin. They'll be having a conversation. It'll be good, obviously. Two legends. So Jeff Blum is going to join us. Hopefully we get a legendary night tonight in a Game 7 down in Houston, Taz, between the Nats and the Astros. That's what we're all looking for, a legendary game. We'll get the thoughts of Jeff Blum. We'll do that next. It's Taz and the Moose with you on this Wednesday, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we got a big Game 7 tonight. Before we welcome aboard Jeff Blum, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Jeff does a great job, Astros analyst, former major leaguer as well, joined us earlier in the postseason. Hey, Jeff, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks again for popping on this morning. We appreciate it.
Jeff, what's up?
Right now it's me, but it was a long night last night. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well,
good,
Jeff.
Man.
We're doing well. I mean, we know it didn't go the Stros' way, but that was an epic. I mean, that was an epic Game 6 with so many ups and downs, range of emotions. I mean, being in the ballpark watching it, I mean, that was a riveting game for a baseball fan.
No, it really was. It had everything you wanted. If you were cheering for both sides, early on it was the Astros making the adjustment and picking up Justin Verlander with big two runs in the bottom of the first inning. But, as a fan of the game, and yes, I worked for the Astros, but man, what Steven Strasburg did last night was one of those monumental lifts that you need from a guy in the top end of your rotation. And the Washington Nationals owe everything to Steven Strasburg right now for getting them into Game 7.
No doubt, Jeff, no doubt. Moose and I were talking about that a lot earlier. Hey, so let me ask you, why do you think the home field advantage has basically meant nothing in terms of wins and losses in this series? I mean, is there any way to put any logic behind this?
That's where I put my job in jeopardy, is trying to figure this kind of stuff out. I don't know, because everything I've heard from, I had a chance to hang out, I'll name drop right here, Christian Yelich, Adam Jones, and Tim Anderson, and Max Muncy before Game 2. And to a man, they said that Minute Maid Park is one of the loudest, most raucous environments that they can play in during the regular season, let alone the playoffs. And here come the Washington Nationals, and they almost feed off the energy of the Minute Maid fans. Because last night, for me, it really felt like the Nationals used some of that energy on the road to propel themselves into that win last night. They were not fazed by it one bit and went out there and had some great at-bats.
Jeff, what was your take on what transpired and the call and the interference call on Trey Turner top half of the seventh inning?
I'm frustrated in the sense that I feel, you know, Sam Holbrook, the home plate umpire at the time, is a veteran umpire. And yes, Major League Baseball will put guys behind the plate in these clinch games that they trust. And overall, Sam Holbrook is a very good umpire, but I feel like that was a missed call last night, even though it did go the Astros' way. But I feel like it really went against the Nationals, because when the collision happened, or when everybody came together, it was on the base. Now, if Trey Turner was running where he was running and the throw hits him in the back, I understand the call. But the fact that it happened at the base, and the base being in fair territory, it left that rule to be interpreted a little too late for me. I think once the player gets to the bag and the ball gets to the bag and the first baseman is there, you kind of have to throw everything out the window. But if before the bag, the ball hits the runner in the back, I understand the call. But the way it was called last night and the timing and the moment, I completely disagree with how it was called.
Yeah, we were the same way. And we were talking earlier, you know, Jeff, I was bringing up the fact about, you know, and you've heard this before. I mean, you know, like in Little League and softball, a safety base. And without calling it a safety base, an extended base to go back towards, you know, make it simple for the athlete to run to avoid any kind of injury or avoid something like this. What's your thoughts on something like that? I mean, Lord knows I'll never change the baseball field, but what's your thoughts on that? For something like that, as a former player, you know, your thoughts on a base like that for the athlete to run through without having an issue like this?
Well, you know, it would look funny. I know it's used in women's softball to get that out of the way and give them a different target to run to, because baseball is unique because the bases are in fair territory. So it's kind of counterintuitive. If you read the rule, it says once you get to that 45-foot line, and that's why there's that extra stripe down the first baseline on the outside of the line, is to give the runner a target to get to or a lane to run in. But once you get in that lane, you're in foul territory, and then the base is in fair territory. So it's counterintuitive in the sense that your coaches will say, run in a straight line to first base. Well, that straight line for a right-handed hitter is a little bit towards the inside part of the diamond in the direction of the throw when it's out in front like that. So it's tough. It's not going to change, but it definitely needs to be adjusted. And as a right-handed hitter, you have to run to the foul territory and then back to fair territory to hit the bag. So
crazy.
It's kind of tough.
Yeah.
We're talking to Jeff Blum, Astros analyst, former MLB veteran. Jeff, what about before we get to Game 7 tonight and obviously how you think it plays out, Scherzer and the like, what about Verlander? Taz and I were talking about earlier. I mean, the fact that 7 World Series starts, he's now 0-6. You know, had the 2-1 lead last night. He's prone to give up the home run this year, as a lot of major league pitchers were, with the home run being up. But what about Verlander and what you saw here in the postseason, what you specifically saw here in the Fall Classic?
I'm still seeing a guy that competes, but I'm seeing a guy that understands he has to be a little bit more fine. And I think that's kind of gotten to him a little bit. There was a lot of talk and a lot of rhetoric before the game talking about the inability to win that clinch game or the inability to win a World Series game, which he is now 0-6. And I believe the team in games that he pitches is now 1-6 in 7 starts in the World Series. But I think it's in his psyche. I think he's still a competitor, but I also feel like he did not go out there and pitch as freely as maybe he wanted to and left a couple of pitches up out of the plate. And the reason he's not pitching as freely as I think he wants to, and we kind of saw it throughout the course of the season, I don't know what it is about some of these big-time pitchers, maybe the Nolan Ryans or the Randy Johnson. Sometimes you see these guys go out there and they don't get the run support that they need. And Justin Verlander kind of falls into that category of getting maybe just under 3 runs a game in the World Series when he's out there pitching. That is a very fine line for a very good pitcher to be walking, you know, unable to make mistakes like he did last night. You figure with the offense the Astros put up in the last 3 games before Game 6, that offense of 6 runs a game would have been more than enough for Justin Verlander to go out there and get that first World Series win, but it didn't happen.
Hey, Jeff, so Moose and I had a lengthy conversation earlier about Scherzer, the neck and everything. How much do you think the Nationals get out of him tonight?
I'm curious. I'm with you guys, too, because, you know, we hear about the injury and he takes the day off. I read a story that said his wife had to put his shirt on, so that kind of gives me an idea it was pretty bad. And then he gets the cortisone shot. You got to shut yourself down for a day or two to get back in rhythm. And then we saw him yesterday at Minute Maid Park playing catch. So I haven't. He's out of his routine. Obviously, he's durable enough. He's strong enough at this point in the season to go out there and give you multiple innings. But at the same time, I'm kind of curious what those innings will be. You know, pitching has a lot to do with touch. It has a lot to do with delivery. And if he has to alter his delivery just a little bit to accommodate or compensate for the injury in his shoulder, I'm curious where that release point goes. And I wonder how closely Davey Martinez and the Nationals are going to watch him and see where that release point is, see how fluid that delivery is. And if he starts to miss his spot, you know, out of the zone or miss his spots and leave pitches up out of the plate, it could be a damaging night. So I'm real curious to see how it goes. But the one thing that kind of trumps all that for me is Max Scherzer's mentality. That dude is a bulldog, man.
Yeah, he certainly is. And you know he wants the baseball. I guess my question is then, Jeff, is what do you get here from Zach Greinke? And how much leeway do you think A.J. Hinch is going to give him? I mean, is it going to be the first sign of trouble? I mean, it is a game seven. How much trust do you think Hinch has in Greinke?
I think there's plenty of trust, but it's going to be limited trust because, like you guys said, you know, it's you know, you don't want the game to get out of hand. If, you know, if there's two runners on, do you take them out? Or is it after the first run is given up, do you take them out? Or, you know, there's certain indicators I'm sure that A.J. Hinch is looking for because everybody is available. Even a Justin Verlander might be available considering, you know, he still threw 100-plus pitches last night. But you've got Gerrit Cole waiting in the wings. You've got Jose Urquidy. So he's got some protection. It's just a matter of what indicators A.J. Hinch is looking for. Is it command? Is it how hard the Washington Nationals are hitting the ball? Or is it just going to be a moment when he has two guys on base and he doesn't trust Zach Greinke in the matchup he has with guys on base?
Jeff, final one is that city nervous, excited, and how do you think it plays out tonight?
I think they're nervous. I think, you know, watching the Astros win three games on the road, coming home and having the potential to win the World Series with Verlander on the mound, I think there is a sense of nervousness because, you know, it's frustrating to me to watch a team that can hit when they know what's coming and they're unable to adjust when they don't know what's coming. That frustrated me last night, and it puts a little bit of worry in my mind tonight because the national pitchers know that the Astros have issues when they can't, you know, anticipate which pitches are coming. So it's all on the offenses tonight. Who makes the best adjustment earliest may have the potential to win this game. But if it comes down to the bullpens, it's a crapshoot after that.
Hey, Jeff, great job. We appreciate it. Enjoy Game 7 tonight, and thanks for the time this morning.
Thanks, Jeff.
Anytime. Great being on with you guys. Have a good rest of the day.
You as well. Buddy. Jeff Blum, Astros analyst, former major leaguer as well. And you got a sense there, Taz. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading a little bit too much. You know, you got a sense there. Maybe he's a little bit nervous about the Astros tonight in a Game 7.
Seemed a little nervous.
No?
Jeff seemed a little bit. I'm with you. He seemed a little bit. He did. He seemed a little bit nervous. I mean, he sounds like he's ready to go play again. Like, he seems, like, intense like that.
Yeah.
Like, right now. He's ready to go. I mean, all Astros guy.
All Astros, right. But he told the line there in terms of the call in the top half of the seventh inning, and he was right. I just hope we get I hope this is not 8-1 in the third. You know, kind of like in a fait accompli. I hope we get a game where it's either way, 3-2, 4-3, 2-1, we're in like the sixth or seventh inning where anybody can still win the game if they come through with the clutch hits. That's what I'm hoping for. I want a riveting game seven. Well,
first of all, I think the audience here knows that if the Nationals win the game, first segment on tomorrow morning's show, you're going to be going berserk.
Oh, probably, so happy. I will be excited.
And if Scherzer plays great, oh, my God. You'll be selling his T-shirts out of the trunk of your car on 6th Avenue.
Always looking for new revenue streams. Revenue streams, I should say.
Exactly. Yeah, you sure as a T, right? Yeah,
that's exactly right. I'll be, what do you mean? Out of my car? I'll be out in front, right? I'll be right with the sign guy outside the studio.
I'm going to start my own empanada cart. I'll be right next to you. You sell the T-shirts, I'll sell the empanadas.
Well, hey, match made in heaven.
You never know.
Sports, never know, right?
They used to do the flea market at Aqueduct years ago.
That's exactly
remember that. Look what Aqueduct would do.
Dude, I remember that too. When did that go away?
Oh, my God. I think when they built that whole thing up at the casino.
Oh, that's right. I remember the flea market. That was a scene.
That was a scene and a half, dude. I lived over there for a while. I know. I was young. I remember that, man. You sell your Max Scherzer shirts there. I'll sell my empanadas. We'll make loot, dude. Bank.
You think the Stros win tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
I do. Yeah, I do.
If not, I'll be all Nats all morning long on Thursday.
Sure as it goes 3 innings. That's it. I mean,
I'll talk Nats so much, Taz will be like, can we get to a little NBA here?
God, you're gonna...
Mike, give me a net update. I need something else here.
That's true.
Sam, good job. Mike, good job across the way. Jeff Blum for joining us and Bogish as well. Taz, good stuff, brother.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
Have a wonderful Wednesday, everybody. Till tomorrow. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.